What would save the world?
What's good, world? What's good with the world? Is the world good? What would save the world? Is it good to save the world? Is there any chance to? What's up, world? What's up, Brooklyn? I'm Pan. Y'all may be familiar with me or not. My show is on Mondays. Every Monday, live at 2 p.m. Pandemonium Radio. And today, Pan has the pleasure of kind of coming in and doing a little Pan dance around the past host of the last show. Peace out. Have a good day. We're here to cover for Took. Took is otherwise occupied. Maybe occupying some space somewhere. Occupying someone's face, someone's hair. This is what would save the world. What would save the world? Does anyone even know? Is the world beyond saving at this point? I don't think so. I also don't think it needs saving. Whatever it is, you know, the planet, civilization, Mother Earth, this dimension. Like, what is Earth to you? What is the world to you? Like, what would save your world could be very different from what would save my world. What would save the world? What is the world? Do we collectively really all participate in this thing? I think there's some allusion to that. We all seem to see things so differently. So are we really in the same world? Is it possible to save anything? Everything is impermanent and fleeting. It all crumbles away and decomposes. All the things we have made, all the poses we have taken, just slip away with no name. Like that poem, Ozymandias. You know what I'm talking about? Everything's just gone. Like, but then it comes back. It just like cycles through. It cycles forward. Like decomposes, contributes to some other life form. Some kind of like microorganism. Like a mushroom, maybe? Fungus? What do y'all think of mushrooms? What do you think of fungus? Mungus. The fungus is among us. I like mushrooms. And I'm not just talking about the ones you guys are probably thinking about. The magic mushrooms. I know that's the one that you would typically think of. You're like, oh, mushrooms. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I'm hip to that. Yeah, well, you know, there's a world beyond magic mushrooms. I hope you're aware of that. You can eat them. You can wear them. You can sort of like use them to like clean up like radioactive like waste and stuff. It's pretty dope. It's pretty dope. And today I think I'd like to talk about some mushrooms, and we might be able to get a call with our fearless leader, Took, later to get their two cents in, their comments from their peanut gallery on mushrooms. Evidently there might be some contention between the two of us as to our views on certain mushrooms. And yes, this time I am talking about the magic mushrooms. Psilocybin, psychedelic, psychotropic loveliness. Y'all ever tried that? I'm not sure what I could or should say about them. It's just a personal experience. And I just really like eating mushrooms. Shiitake mushrooms, maitake mushrooms, portobellos, white button, criminy. Am I saying that right? Hen of the woods. Have you ever had that? It's a really weird mushroom, and it like grows in the forest, and it's like it's really trippy looking. It's beautiful. You should Google it. Look up a picture. Maybe I'll post one later of a bunch of mushrooms. Oh my God, it's really hot in here. So side note, it's a beautiful day outside. Y'all should go outside. Take your little mushroom selves out there. Air your gills. Get some sun. Feel some love. Drink some water, because it's hot out there. It really is. It's fucking hot. And it's also kind of hot inside the studio, because we had a lot of hot air being issued earlier. There was some nice people, a panel in here having a discussion right before we came on the air. So it's a little muggy. It's a little thick. It's a little damp. It'd actually be really ideal location and temperature for growing mushrooms in here, I feel like. Not that I'm suggesting we do that. I feel like certain people wouldn't really like Although, you know, like maybe mushrooms would help, like, you know, purify the air or something. No, this is not the place to grow mushrooms. But we would like to grow mushrooms. Who out there wants to start a mushroom farm with me? Whether it's in your closet, your backyard, or some really dope farm upstate. I really sincerely would love to just live life growing mushrooms, selling them, giving them away. I want to be able to grow so many edible mushrooms. And I mean, like, the stuff that you can eat and, like, saute and, you know, serve to your Nana on Sunday dinner. I'm not talking about the psychedelic stuff. I am talking about the psychedelic stuff, too. I think it'd be really great to grow those. Or at least, you know, to legalize them. Why are those illegal? Are they illegal? They're kind of, like, not legal. So I guess, you know, not legal, illegal. But I think, as we've discussed before, I have. If you've listened to my show, Pandemonium Radio, live on Radio Free Brooklyn, every Monday at 2, you might have heard a thing or two about my personal view of things. All things legal and not legal. Like, things that are legal are not necessarily good or right. Yeah, I feel like, you know, you all know that, yeah? You know, like rights being infringed and granted and approved. Like, do you really have rights and freedoms? Are they rights and freedoms if they were just legalized and just given to you? Like, they were never really right or free or considered, you know, rights. And they were not free to obtain. Freedom is not free. We did an episode on that. Pandemonium Radio. Check it out. RadioFreeBrooklyn.com. Thanks for anyone who's tuning in now to What Would Save the World with your typical host, who is absentee at the momi, but might be joining us, i.e. we, me, the pan, for a little dialogue later to talk about mushrooms. Right now, we're going to see if we can find some content on mushrooms to discuss. There's so many things to talk about mushrooms. Where should I start? I feel like mushrooms are the world. They're everything to me. Everything about mushrooms is just so beautiful. Everything about mycology is so fascinating and diverse and rich as the soil that mushrooms love to grow from. Just lovely, rich compost, dead stuff, dead material. Mushrooms thrive on that stuff, on the nasty stuff, the waste, the trash that we make. It's one of the reasons why I feel like mushrooms could save the world, whatever the fuck that means. Saving the world. I think we've already tried to do enough saving. I think we have a savior complex, and I mean that, like, as a, you know, a race. Are we a race in existence? The human existence? It's like human races. What is race? It's not a topic of discussion. Back to mushrooms. I heard that mushrooms are actually pretty closely similar to humans, like, genetically. Like, and then, like, if you believe in, like, evolution, there's all these, like, different branches of life forms and stuff. Like, we evidently have a lot in common with just, like, we're not too many, like, branches off away from mushrooms. Like, we're more closely related to them than, like, other things you might think we're related to. Like, I don't know, some kind of animal, if you believe in evolution. Or something. Mushrooms are great. Mushrooms grow from waste and trash. I feel like I can find an article, something I was talking about, how mushrooms were being utilized to clean up radioactive waste. Fukushima, was it? And some of that other nonsense. Some kind of nuclear reactor making a mess in the sea. Don't mind me. I'm just typing away. We haven't gone on live today. I don't know what Took usually does. This is a cacophony, if this is consistent with the typical rhythm and rhyme of how they shine. So thank you, Took, for trusting me and trusting me with your slot, with your show. I hope I'm handling your baby with care. If you go to Google and you just, like, type mushroom used, some interesting things come up. Mushroom used for drugs, mushroom used in Chinese cooking, and mushroom used for medicine. I think it's interesting because Chinese cooking could, you know, very well be in and of itself a medicine if done properly. I'm a big fan of Eastern Chinese herbal medicine. And a lot of it incorporates the use of different, a wide like variety of mushrooms. Ground, pulverized, eaten fresh, stewed, making teas out of certain mushrooms. They've been shown to like cure cancer, Alzheimer's, like fucking, what's that stuff that you have in your hands? Arthritis. Yeah. Reishi mushrooms, I think, are good for that. Don't quote me on that. I'm not a doctor. But mushrooms are used for a wide variety of things beyond just eating and beyond just tripping on. And like some people, when they hear me talking about mushrooms, are like, oh, here you go. I'm going to support any like psychedelic mushrooms. I'm like, well, yes. Yes, I will. They've done a lot for me. And I don't really want to go into that today. Unless, you know, it just comes up. It's not necessary. But mushrooms are really amazing. You can eat them. You can grow them. There's some people who are like making clothing out of them, learning to like make some sort of mycelial growth. So basically you could like grow fabric, maybe even grow skin, like skin replacement, synthetic materials. Like what if you could grow materials instead of growing a plant and macerating the plant, creating a bunch of waste and byproduct, all this excessive labor to then take those fibers and then create a fabric in excess that may or may not get used to its best abilities. What if you could just grow what you needed? Wouldn't that be amazing? Instead of just having, you know, like all this waste, we throw out so much stuff. And I'll tell you what, I don't think that's saving the world. All this trash that we make, all this excessive waste, the waste that comes from our face and our down below space, aka the shit that comes out of our everyday lives. We make so much trash, you guys. It's nuts. And we could do something about that with mushrooms. This really cool dude that I had the pleasure of listening to at a talk sometime back. Paul Stamets. Anyone here familiar with that? Anne? Anyone? Stamets? Paul? Anyone? Paul Stamets is a pretty dope dude. He's a mycologist, professor, activist, lover of bees and fancy hats. Seems like a pretty nice guy. I only like ever shook his hand, like talked to him for a hot second at a book signing. It's kind of a geeky moment for me anyway. So I can't say for sure, you know, what kind of person he is or isn't, because I don't fucking know the guy. But I'm a fan of his work. I really am. He does talks about mushrooms. He has these interesting products, vitamins, mushroom supplements, which, yes, I have bought and taken on occasion. And no, they were not psychotropic or psychedelic in nature. They were like immune system boosters. Or maybe it's brainwash. Maybe I was just like taking Paul Stamets brainwash. And because I take these Paul Stamets brainwash pills, like I'm like, yay, Paul Stamets is God. He's like so amazing. He likes mushrooms. But no, that's not really how I am. I mean, you know, Paul may be God. We're all God. I think that's just my personal pan opinion. I think mushrooms are God. Mushrooms are just like in everything, pretty much. And from what Mr. Stamets, from what Paul was talking about, mushrooms just have a natural way of figuring out problems in nature. I don't even say figuring out problems is like, it's not even really a problem. It's just a thing. And the mushroom's like, oh, this isn't working out for you? I'll be the solution. I'll just break this down. I'll just help you metabolize it. I'll just fight off this thing. Evidently, plants like grass, trees, shrubberies. A shrubbery! In the forest, these plants need fungus. Mushroom, a sort of like little mushroom fungus life form. Maybe you've seen it if you've ever been in nature or done some gardening or, you know, just pulled up a plant or something at one point and you saw this this sort of fuzz, this sort of like, it's like, yeah, it's just like fuzz, this little white stuff. It's, let me see if I'm reading this right or saying this right. So in mycorrhizal, I shouldn't even say this word. I should have done my research. M-Y-C-O-R-R-H-I-Z-A-L, mycorrhizal. In a mycorrhizal association, the fungus colonizes the host plant's root tissues, if that makes sense to you, either intercellularly as an arbuscular mycorrhizal fungi, AMF, or an extracellularly, extracellularly as an ectomycorrhizal fungi. The association is generally mutualistic, but in particular species or in particular circumstances, mycorrhizae may be variously pathogenic in the host plants. So admittedly, sometimes this fungus will be detrimental to the life form. It also contributes to the evolution of the plant. So you then, it's basically like plants have evolved with the aid of mushroom or fungus life forms taking over, incorporating themselves into a plant. Sometimes it's deemed not so good, but in most cases it's beneficial because it helps the plant metabolize like sunlight and soil and water and like all this shit. And so basically without this fungus, the plant can't metabolize stuff and like it withers and dies and it's like is subject to attack from like these illnesses. On top of that, if I'm getting this right, I remember Paul at this talk talking about how this fungus, this mushroom stuff that grows around the roots is it's basically like the internet for plants, like in the forest. Like because of this mushroom life form, this connection that grows around all these little plants and underground and on the ground or just whatever, and it communicates to itself and therefore helps plants communicate to each other. So it's kind of like cell phone provider, for lack of a better term or metaphor. And I just thought that was so fucking cool. Because like I never knew that. Growing up as a kid, I'm like, mushrooms are just like, you're told not to touch them, you're told not to eat them. And then you're, as an adult, you find out why. It's like, because, you know, they don't want you seeing the pretty pictures. Or they don't want you dying. Because, you know, mushrooms are really fucking poisonous sometimes. They're not a joke, you guys. Like, don't get any ideas. Like, oh yeah, like mushrooms are great. And like, Pan said some crazy shit and I'm going to see what's out there. Like, you know, do your research. Whether it's like through, you know, some random hookup or you're growing them or like you're harvesting themselves. Like, please don't harvest mushrooms, especially if you've never done it before. Because it's actually a really good way to do it and not so good way to do it. And not so good way to do it would be to go to just like rip up the whole mushroom life form and like the whole fruiting body and take it and like try to eat it or try to replant it or try to trip on it or whatever the fuck you think you're doing. And you're actually ruining the mushroom itself. Mushrooms can be harvested in a very beneficial and lovely way. It's like you can just like, well, like picking a fruit or a nut or something from a tree or something that has fallen. You know, there's a point where you can like take part of the fruiting body and you leave the rest behind so that it can continue to grow and it can come back later next year. So side note, I feel like harvesting and eating mushrooms is just a much more beneficial way of eating stuff, of getting proteins. There's so many mushrooms that are edible that are not poisonous and are available at your local farmer's market and greengrocer. You know, if you're curious, if you don't have either of those, then you might have to go to supermarket, you know, something, your Whole Foods, God forbid, your Sam's Club. But I'm sure they got mushrooms too. Probably some like really fucking basic portobello and like button mushrooms that were like genetically modified and grown in an underground lab, probably right under the Sam's Club. But that's another rant. I don't know if that is. Mushrooms are great. They are a great source of protein and so many different vitamins. And I don't know, just like Google some shit. If you're curious, look stuff up, just like mushrooms. And there's a lot of misinformation and there's just a lot of fun, fascinating facts. I would say like maybe don't go to Google. Look up Paul Stamets. Read one of his books. Listen to what he has to say about mushrooms. He even like had this really dope talk about how mushrooms were beneficial and would actually help save the bees. Believe it or not. And maybe I can pull something up, like an article, something, so I'm quoting him more accurately. But basically, he like did this experiment where he was like growing these large bins with all this compost and stuff and mulch to like grow these mushrooms, which I'm pretty sure were edible. Like some, I don't remember the exact form of mushroom, but he was like growing mushrooms. And noticed that in the process of the growing and the decomposition, the whole like life cycle of this mushroom, they are accosted, kind of in a positive way, by honeybees. And bees like are all up in this shit. So it was like seeing that bees benefit from the existence of these mushrooms, not only because I think the bees might also help like pollinate and or spread spores and stuff like that, you know, like mushrooms do. So it helps, you know, it's beneficial. It's mutually, you know, helping each other out. But there's like this condensation, this sort of like dew, honey dew that a mushroom makes. It's like condensation. It's just this dew that like formulates, it's sweat. You know, it's excretion something from the mushroom because like plants do this. Plants sweat, humans sweat, animals sweat. It's not gross. I mean, it is. It's gross, but it's also fucking cool. Yes, sweat can taste really fucking nice, like on some nasty human shit. Like, man, when you're like really, really into someone, they smell amazing. Then you accidentally or purposefully get a little taste of that sweat. Oh my God, it's like a drug. That, my friends, is a true drug. And hopefully we'll never get discovered and regulated and made illegal because that would be quite tragic. Human sweat. I wonder if that could be a psychotropic, you know, like tripping on someone else's hormones, chemicals, pheromones, feelings. I mean, I feel like you could. I know I do. Sometimes I'm like, I'm tripping on other people's emotions. Like it's like, for lack of a better term, an empathic sort of attitude of mine. And I am like very spongy to other people's attitudes and moods. Can like feel their feelings washing over me, whether I like it or not. And I think a lot of that's because of sweat. Sweat, you know, like has all these chemicals and these messages and stuff. And like we feel like we've evolved beyond the primitive thing. Like we have spoken word, we have written word, we have language, we have computers, we have emojis. Yay, emojis. We can communicate in so many ways, right? And yet we still like fucking misunderstand each other at every turn. Don't understand anything we're getting in a text message, especially when it's like that's another topic of discussion. My point is, I feel like a lot could be picked up subliminally still through smell. The nose is a very beautiful, sensitive organ, and we're picking up on all these like subtle messages from other people. And a lot of the time, the people don't even realize they're giving them because like people just aren't aware of themselves, aren't aware of their smells, aren't aware of their own little mushroom body, this little meat bag, this puppet, this thing that we walk around in. We don't even know how it fucking works most of the time. Right when we start to figure it out, and fucking die. Just like a mushroom. It's crazy. Mushrooms are great. They're really cyclical. I feel like it could be a sustainable form of like food, that protein for people. More sustainable than the beef industry. And there's a lot of reasons why. For one thing, like we really farm animals and that's cruel and fucked up on so many levels. But beyond the just like the nasty, weird aspect of like purposely creating and breeding and basically growing animals for our own consumption, that is like not even like needed because we totally throw meat out all the time. And I say we, including the non-meat eaters, like at some point you've probably had to throw meat out. Unless you've like really been like fucking strict and like kosher, for lack of a better term, in your regimen, and you just like never worked in the hospitality industry or in some place where you had to handle meat at all, then that's cool. If you've never had to handle meat, if you've never been encouraged to kill an animal, slice it open and do all that stuff. Butchery is fascinating, but it is not for me. And I don't think it's necessary. Getting back to mushrooms, it's a less brutal process. You simply pluck one or two of the mushroom guys off. You like break part of the head off. You like dig some up and leave the rest behind. Let the little guy keep living and maybe grow more before its life cycle and the season ends. Harvest what you need and no more. Wouldn't that be awesome? If you could just like kind of go out or go in to your little green room, your little backyard, wherever you might be growing your mushrooms. And just like break off some little clumps, get some little fruiting bodies, get yourself a little mushroom buddy lunch, a little mushroom munch, saute them, fillet them, fry them, dice them. I wonder if you can make mushroom desserts. I wonder if there are any sweet mushrooms. I should look into that. I have an amazing sweet tooth, like atrocious, rather. It's an atrocious sweet tooth. I love sweet stuff. You can like do some fun sweet stuff with dessert. Shout out to, what is that cafe? They have an amazing mushroom, hot chocolate type chaga mushroom drink. Fuck, it'll come to me later. Bliss Cafe, is that it? Is that Manhattan? Check it out. Vegan cafes are my fave. Technically, I must admit, I'm not a vegan, I'm a vegetarian. I still eat cheese and dairy and stuff. So yeah, I'm a total fucking hypocrite and I still contribute to like the mass incarceration of the poor moo cows and goats across the world. I still got a lot of work to do. I'm not perfect. Nobody is. What's good, world? What's good, Brooklyn? For those of you just tuning in or tuning out, thanks for listening. Thanks for stopping by. I'm going to see if I can plug my device in and maybe do a little Facebook Live. Typically, I go live on Facebook for a few minutes on my show, Pandemonium. I am Pan, your host for today, for What Would Save the World. My show is typically on Mondays at 2 p.m. And it's called Pandemonium, and it pretty much sounds like this. It's just a bunch of pandemonic garble. I don't want to say garbage, but, you know, to be derogatory, but I like garbage. I think garbage is amazing. I mean, it's not that I love garbage and I want it to exist. It's more that I was born into garbage. I was born into a world of waste. I was born into a system of sinful excess and mess. And at some point, I reckon that I was like, well, might as well get used to it in a way that, okay, this isn't going away anytime soon. So learn to love it. It's like, instead of saying fuck the patriarchy, a couple of my friends, good friend Tate, are like, heal the patriarchy or love the patriarchy. Not love it for what it's doing to us because, you know, that's a little Stockholm syndrome means, you know, fucked up. Rather, just like throw love at it, think love at it. Because it's so fucked up and bruised and fractured and causing such a mess because of a lack of love and an increase of fear and hate. And to me, as I was discussing with my good friends up in the record store earlier, hate is just a malformed and twisted version of love, which is kind of sad. That's just how it is. Instead of hating all the shit that is wrong and gross with the world, like, and there's a lot to hate out there, you guys, like... We are very frustrated about stuff, and I mean that individually, but also collectively. I think we can have a little amen when we're a little frustrated with the state of things. You know, country's kind of a mess. Newsflash, when has it not been a mess? And yet, there's really no reason to stress because we are surrounded by so many blessings, so many friends. We just got to talk to each other, you guys, you kids, you dolls, you gals. Your bros, kittens, bubs. Talk to your bubs. So what's up, bub? Why are you feeling that way? Why are you talking to me that way? Why you want me out of your face? You know what? Okay, cool. I'll give you your space. But let's talk. We gotta talk about this, right? Can we talk? Can we not talk? I feel like talking is just helpful. In theory, it helps you skirt the misunderstanding of the situation. The state of the nation. Don't get me wrong, there's a lot lost in translation. But I still think it's time to try and shift our stations. I don't want to abandon this planet, make a mess, leave for some moonlit space station. That would be dope. I wouldn't mind living in space, but I don't want it to be at the cost of this planet going to waste. I don't want to see a scorched surface. Not a single trace of an animal left. I would be and feel bereft if I was even still alive to see the theft that us humans created, enacted upon the earth, upon the world. The world is ours for creating. We need to take the reins and begin to be reinstating a sense of peace and presentness. What do we need in this moment? No more mess? Then take what you need, not what you want to feed your greed with. Sorry, I'm not sorry. That was a little freestyle session. Did you know Paul Stamets, this dude, he was, and I hope still is, let me look this up on the interwebs. Gather your sources, kids, you know, before you get on the air. It makes you seem a little more consistent and coherent. I never really do, but I keep telling myself I should. So, what was I saying? Paul Stamets. Paul Stamets was, possibly still is, making these little mushroom kits. You can grow mushrooms out of like a little bag or a box or a bucket or something. Does that make sense? Like you can just order this thing online and it shows up and it's kind of a DIY packet. I think that means do it yourself, though technically you're not really doing it yourself. You're like doing it at the behest and assistance of someone who put this package together for you, but that's beside the point. Can I get a shout out to assistants, people assisting co-hosts on the radio? I don't have one right now, and I'm starting to realize why it might be nice to have one, or at least a gaffer or someone in the studio. Say, who there? You there? Could you pass me that cord? Could you shut that door all the way? Could you hand me that water vessel? I'm quite parched. My mouth is quite dry at the moment. I've got cotton mouth and it's kind of awkward. No one's going to want to listen to this if I keep talking with sticky S's and keys. Yeah, I wouldn't mind having a co-host or an assistant right now for this lovely show. What would save the world? If I had a host, a co-host, I'd be like, yo, co-host, what do you think would save the world? And they'd be like, not humans. And I don't know why they talk like that. That's kind of a really weird voice. Yeah, I'm not sure humans can save the world. I'm not even sure we're naturally a part of this world, to be honest. I don't know what to believe. This is just a theory. But I just don't feel like humans fit into the grand scheme and makeup of this particular planet. I.e., we just kind of came here at one point. we just came all over the place. And then we've been coming ever since. Coming and going. Are we going anywhere with this? What was my point? I'm not sure humans are a part of this, but we sure are a hell a part of this mess. We are kind of a big cause of the mess, and maybe it's all part of the evolutionary bliss, if you believe in evolution. I don't even know what that means to ask. Do you believe in evolution? Like what, like the ancient theory that was first established by some white dude who's now dead? Or does the concept that things evolve and change consistently, constantly anyway, maybe don't consistently change, but that they do change, inevitably, they do break down, they do build up, they do grow, they do break and die. And even that matter, it feeds into something else, into new life. It never stops going. It just keeps creating and recreating. So then why is it that so many things that humans create don't follow into that flow of breaking down and resurrection and furtherment of other life forms? It's almost like if it does manage to break down, it's at like the detriment of other life forms. And then there are so many things like what we talked about with our dear friends, Hilla, the Killa, and Took Talk with Hilla and Sir Nate on this very fucking show, What Would Save the World? About plastic, man. Like plastic. It's plastic. It's plastic, man. And like, it kind of sucks. Where does it go? According to Chuck Palahniuk, it goes somewhere into the Pacific Ocean and is going to be a new Atlantis sometime in the future. In the dawning of the apocalypse, this great flotilla, an island of plastics and styrofoams and polystyrenes, tampon cases and Zippo lighters, chip bags, to-go containers, straws, the bane of our existence. You know, when you can make a very small change in your life today, go get a reusable straw. I'm not even joking. Like, think about it just for a second. When was the last time you used a straw? Okay, don't. May this be the last straw. Because straws are the last straw. That's like fucking awful. May the last straw be the straw that you go and buy or order and get one for your friends. get a reusable straw. There's some you can get. They're bamboo. The metal. The metal ones aren't for everyone. They hurt some people's teeth. So I suggest the bamboo. You can even get a little brush to clean out the inside. It's really great. I'm not saying it's going to save the world, guys, because I don't know. I don't know if anything's going to save the world. Is the world going to be saved? Does it need saving? I think it needs some kind of, like, transformation, that's for sure. And then hopefully we can save that data so that future generations don't forget. I think we need a transformation. It would be nice to save the world. What would save the world? I think mushrooms would. I've talked a little bit about mushrooms today, rather uninformedly and by myself. All by myself, don't wanna be all by... Actually, I wouldn't mind being by myself. I would love to have my own place to live. At the same time, I love community. I love living with people. And I like waking up and having coffee with someone, whether it's someone I just boned or boned me, or it's someone who just phoned me to come over and chill or stay a while, and like getting up and like having a morning smoke together. It's nice. It's nice to live with other people in a collective. I truly wouldn't mind having my own living space, though. That would be quite ideal. Even if it's a closet, like I'd do some Harry Potter shit, a little weird, like under the stairs closet thing. I could make that cozy. I'm doing some minimalist shit in my life right now. I don't have too much stuff. I could have less. I could just be like a little mushroom growing in your closet. You just, you know, I just need a little bit of sunlight and water. And some bullshit for fertilizer. And then I'm quite a trip. I'm quite a trip to interact with. I personally really endorse psychedelic mushrooms. I'm sorry that I'm not sorry that I endorse it. I know one day you will all see the benefits of Mother Mushroom, the intergalactic matron. Did you know, like, mushrooms can, like, live in space? Spores? Like, that is so fucking cool. I think mushrooms are, like, aliens. Because basically they can travel through space in spore form and, like, not die or whatever. And they're, like, impervious to radioactivity, and or the radioactivity, like, alters how they grow and, like, evolve and develop. I don't know, some crazy shit. They can travel through space, and then when they get to a warm and or moist enough surface, they then like do their thing and they proliferate and they grow and they evolve and they like take over and they do the thing. So it's like mushrooms. Mushrooms are like interstellar. Mushrooms come from space. It's so fucking cool. Some people say we come from space. We come from stardust. To dust we shall return. Let's check in with our fearless leader, Took, see if they wanna chat for a little bit. I'm gonna see if I can play some kind of musical interlude-ish that may have absolutely nothing to do with mushrooms. So I'm sorry, I'm not sorry that this has nothing to do with mushrooms. I'm just gonna see if I can play some kind of song, some kind of music, maybe a freestyle. Our friend Paperboy. Ha ha ha, Paper, yeah, Prince of the Suburbs, might be coming by to talk with us a little bit. So maybe we can play a little bit of a freestyle that we concocted with him one day. Look like sin baited, aka sin bad. Sin good. Sin good, is truth bad? I don't know what I should do. Jay Dilla, and you making the skrilla? Cause I just wanna know how to do it, you feel me?
You feel me? Are you a filmer? Are you a filmmaker? It don't even matter. Are you a need a maker? Do you have a cool baker? I don't even care. Are you here? Do you lie? Are you playing for Lakers?
Do you drive us to the baker?
Thank you, Paper Bay. Thank you, Paper Bay.
Yeah.
Thank you, yeah. Paper Bay. I like your mama too. We take her to the thrift store.
You just laying down, she holding your head, tugging at your hair. She's should make you feel impaired in a good way. Come down to your feet. You know what I say?
You know what I say. I don't play. This game through every day. I'm going to change this song.
Yo, give me the number from that skinny girl. I'm talking about that Uma Thurman. You know, she gonna rock my world. At least that's what I heard him say one time.
All right. Not sure what that was. I haven't listened to that in a while. That was a freestyle. Pen and paper. Hold up, hold up, hold up, hold up. Got my heart in a hold up. Got me in a hold, I'm hold up. Got me in a hold up, cornered, I'm hold up. I'm cornered, I'm hold up. Got my back to the wall. Back to the wall, don't know who I'm gonna call. Got my back in the time of the fall. Yo, when Babylon come down, who's gonna have my back when I'm on the ground? Yo, head in the clouds, how do I prepare for this sort of mental shroud? Yo,
this mental shroud got me standing out in the crowd. Or is my mind feel like it's flipped inside out? I don't even care, don't know what it's about. I told them that it's young paper, took a different route. They like, man, you only did it because you want the clout. I said, I'm for the people, I just want to help them out. And people don't even want to trust you, all they want to doubt. And I just told them that's okay, I'm kind of like an owl. I'm standing up all night, yeah, all night, wow. I'm standing up all night like a long time. Like I never want to sleep, no alarm time. Like I broke my alarm clock for 7 years. I had cried over some things, I shed up some tears. I just told them, man, I get it, yeah, I get it, yeah. Whip it up in the kitchen, yeah, I feel like, yeah.
Whip it up in the kitchen like cookies. Yo, I got insomnia like my Zach friend Zach, who worked at Insomnia Cookies. But he doesn't anymore. He got some kind of cool internship, yeah. He's got the financial score, maybe. A little career embellisher. I relish your friendship paper, yeah. I relish all the BK wildlife, hims and hers. All the people who deter from genders. Like myself, my pan self, my pandemic, endemic,
my pan gender. Pandemic, endemic. All right, let's see if we can get our wonderful Took in here on the radio. I think we're calling right now. Can we answer in time? Can I get this thing to work? Is this thing on? Is this thing on at all? Nope, missed a call. I'm going to call him right back. Maybe we're going to talk about mushrooms, because I personally endorse them. And
hello.
Took evidently doesn't. What's good, fearless leader?
Hello. Am I on the air?
I don't know. Are you? Is this thing on? It is on. You're on. I can hear you on the
hello,
thingy.
Hello, everybody listening to What Would Save the World. What's up? So you've been talking about mushrooms and stuff on the radio?
I've been kind of rambling about mushrooms on a various number of levels and topics, sort of, you know, like, oh, kind of tangented on how you can grow your own. You could eat them, not just the psychedelic ones. They can be used to clean up radioactive waste and, like, mushrooms just have a really great way of breaking things down in a life cycle that I feel like humans could learn from, because we don't
definitely
we're not really good at that.
I mean, do you have anybody else on there with you right now?
Not at the moment. No, our friend
rambling.
It's just been rambling. It's a rambling pan. That's been about it.
Cool, rambling pan. Well, thank you for covering the show today.
Thank you.
Using mushrooms to, I've heard a little bit about using mushrooms to grow things or to help like cleanse things. Like I know you can use certain kinds of mushrooms to clean water and like a water catchment, right? That's like a thing. Like you could use, right? Is that a thing?
Right, like fungus and like, yeah, you can use, like someone was actually telling me about this when you want to, if you're in a place where you need to make a water filter, like, I don't know, the fucking desert or the Amazon, not that you would have all these elements at your disposal, but if you can, you can use like charcoal, sand, and rock, and you need to develop a sort of mycelial mat, a mushroom fungus in the water, and it's part of that culture. It helps catch all other bacteria, and it lays at the top of the water filter, and anything, any rainwater, anything you pour in there, all this stuff gets filtered through the little mushroom mat, and so it's like an additional filtration process, which I thought was really fascinating.
That's amazing, yeah. And also, I just want to add that, like, That's cool. But when you first told me that you were going to be doing the show and that it was going to be about mushrooms, I thought immediately, oh my God, this is just going to be like some colonialist nonsense, like about just how mushrooms can save like the New Age revolution, Burning Man.
Like if we're just like, this world is burned to ashes, let's just all trip out of our minds, man, into a new dimension and, you know,
yeah,
create a
man,
new world.
It totally doesn't matter, like, that, you know, that somebody else whose culture that originally came from might not be able to even afford to do that anymore.
Right? Or like, it's like we have people who have bought, or like basically they formulate little churches, and there's like not just with mushrooms but with other things like ayahuasca or whatever. So they basically get permission to use this stuff and facilitate the use of some very privileged people who can go upstate for the weekend. And in the meantime, the cultures where this knowledge originated from, these Aboriginal peoples, may not even exist anymore. Or in their existence, they are oppressed and or are not able to utilize their traditions and their...
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Which is a damn shame.
When I was at this talk by the Red Warrior Camp from the No Dapple protest, they did this talk at Blue Stockings, and one of the guys was talking about how like he can't even afford to go do an ayahuasca ceremony, even though that's where he's from. It's like down in South America.
Damn.
Can't afford to do that. So yeah, so that's why I have like a strong reaction to some of like the Burning Man culture around that. But yeah, so I wanted to say real quick before the show is over that next week I'm going to be having on Caribou Vague, who's a really great performance artist, and he is going to be talking about how we can dismantle and what is pink washing and how can we dismantle it, which is about like the corporate involvement in like pride and the corporate involvement in all things.
Yeah, there's been a lot of uproar about that, especially after this most recent pride. Some people are not too happy with the way certain things were handled by the people who orchestrate the, you know, the pride parade itself. Which is nothing new. I'm sure it's happened in past years. It's just I feel like I've heard a lot of backlash just the past couple of days.
I mean, yeah. I mean, there were people who tried to stop the police from playing music because they were going to walk by Stonewall. And people don't know this already. Stonewall was a police was a reaction to consistent police raids. So for them to get to march NYPD for LGBT community, especially when like in the past years other things have happened and whatever, and then these people tried to block the parade and stop it, and the organizers of the parade tried to stop it, like help the police and help the protesters get arrested.
That's some dissonance right there. It's like losing sight of what it's really all about, to be sure. Which that sounds like a fascinating convo.
So we're going to talk about that. And Darcy Leonard of Terror Society may join us. She may not.
Sweet.
I'm not sure. But so I just wanted to promote that a little bit. But
absolutely.
Really glad you covered the show a little bit. Right now I'm in the car with my aunt and my mother. We just face painted at a party and they don't seem to care at all that I'm doing this radio show. But that's okay.
That's amazing. Well, I don't want to be rude with your current company.
No, they're yelling at me how they're old. So apparently I should...
We're old. Oh yes, I'm old.
The more they just don't care about what I do, but it's cool.
It's beautiful.
So they're like, oh, that is so untrue. Now I'm just trying to.
They don't care right now.
They don't care right now.
They might care later when they're at Thanksgiving dinner. I'm just kidding.
They said they might care later when they're at Thanksgiving dinner. No, I'm just giving them a hard time because I have to involve them or I won't be able to pay attention to this because it's very, very distracting and I guess it doesn't matter.
Nothing really matters. It's only matter. It all breaks down sooner or later. Well, I think it sounds like you're surrounded by some really dope souls. So that's good.
Yeah, they're awesome.
I think that would help save the world, just surrounding ourselves with more awesome people that we can have a pleasant space and time with.
You know what would save the world? Absolutely nothing. My show used to be far more inspirational. Now I feel like it's got hit the level.
It's a little nihilistic. I feel like that's why it's nice to bring the pandemonium in for a little refresher, because I myself am quite like, we're all going to fucking die anyway, so what does it matter? But at the same time, I'm like, well, while we're here, while we're here, can we at least make less of a mess? Like, I'm not saying we're saving shit, because it's like, does the world need saving? I feel like if the world were going to save itself, whatever it is or her or it, them, it would basically be to shake us off the face of the earth.
Yeah,
you know, have a couple tsunamis, a couple earthquakes, or just like do some weird implosion shit and just start over, because we've made a mess of things so far. But at the same time, I have some hope. A little bit of hope, but maybe by the time I finish my own radio season, I'll be a little bit more jaded as well.
Did I do Obama the hope? I don't know. You know what it is?
Did I Obama the
hope? A year where I consistently talk to people about trying to be like what would save the world, and like just get it, just realizing how many people are actually interested in talking about that as opposed to who are not.
Yeah.
That's like the most depressing thing in the world.
Truly.
Is realizing like that not. I mean, there are certain types of people, like, you know, certain spaces, a lot of people will be down. But even then, a lot of those people, like, are not really willing to go move beyond, like, concepts of reform. A lot of people are not willing to really look into completely new. Do you know what I mean? They just kind of want to work within the system, which I can understand. But, and I understand that being something that people think is, like, mature, you know, like, if you watch SLC Punk, if you see SLC Punk.
I'm not sure I'm familiar.
SLC Punk is like a movie about Matthew something. Like when he played Shaggy in the live action Scooby-Doo.
Okay.
And he like, it's about a punk, and at the end, and like his punk ways, and at the end he becomes a lawyer because he realizes he could change more from inside the system or something like that.
Right.
And like, I feel like that's like this like stereotype of like, that's what happens to political people when they become mature. They decide that they're going to change things inside the system. And I kind of just think that's bullshit a little bit. Like, I think that's a little bit like, to me, I see that as like a lukewarm revolution. Huh. Do you know what I'm saying?
It's yeah. Like, I mean, it's sort like, of a romanticized revolution, because it's sort of like, I had the same notion myself. I don't know if you're familiar with a movie called Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. It's an old black and white Frank Capra movie. It's like, I'm sure you would be absolutely disgusted to watch it. But it's got Jimmy Stewart. Basically, he plays this like yokel who's like a Boy Scout leader or something, and he gets pegged as someone who would be perfect to be a shoo-in candidate, I think as a senator, so that he'll vote the way they want him to vote, and they can finally approve this thing that they want to get done that's going to screw a lot of people over, yada, yada, yada. But they play it to him like they're helping him, like, finally have a voice. And he's, like, very naive and, like, tries to make a change. And then he ends up uncovering a bunch of shit that he shouldn't know about and, like, tries to bring it to light. And they end up basically, like, just ripping him apart. And he's like, someone's got to listen to me. There must be someone out there who wants to do something. And he basically just, like, passes out on the floor, like, trying to hold a filibuster and, like, change the shit or whatever. And it's whatever. That movie made me be like, oh, my God, I feel like I'm the Mr. Smith. Like, there's got to be some way to change it. There's got to be someone who's listening. And then I'm looking around this room full of perturbed old white men who are just kind of frowning at me like, vroom, 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 vroom. And nobody's listening. And, like, so no one's going to help me change it. And that's very disheartening when you think you've worked your way into
a system. Okay, I think I have to go. You're good. Because no one really cares about what I'm doing right now. So
you're amazing. I'll talk to you soon. Have a wonderful day. Thank you for letting me bomb your show.
Because I'm going to keep talking. So I just want to say real quick that movie sounds really super, super intense, because like I can relate to that in a big way.
Well, even from trying to change a system, like from what you're doing for your work or performance, like if you might want to change how fucking sexist or oppressive things are, but you still want to do this performance thing, or you still want to be this person, but then you have to like try to change things from the inside out. Like as a performer, are you still there? Can you hear me? I can hear you.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Changing things from the inside. I think sometimes that works, I think sometimes it doesn't. But I'm just waiting for people to, like, look at the world and realize that we don't have to do a lot of these things this way. But I think maybe what I feel like might end up happening, there's always going to be power-hungry motherfuckers.
Sure.
Anyway, Pan.
Yes.
I'm gonna thank you so much for doing the show.
I thank you.
I had to work. Well, I had to work for capitalism. And everybody listening, you should have listened to Pandemonium. It's on Mondays at 2, right?
Word. That is very true.
And Yeah, and next week, tune in. We'll talk about pink washing. And the week after that, we're going to have a really intense episode where we're going to talk about how Muslims and Jews can work together to end the occupation of Palestine.
Damn, so, that sounds intense.
That's going to be it.
Let's tune into that, you kids.
This is an intense show. So what would save the world? Mushrooms would definitely help out from what you're telling me. Fuck your fucking colonialist nonsense.
Yes.
And now my mother is explaining to my aunt what I'm doing right now, and it's very amusing.
Tell them Pan says hi, and I love you all.
Pan says hi. Anyway, okay. Have a good show, Pan.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Chopin.
My mom says have a... Mom, what would save the world?
Oh.
What would save the world?
Love.
All right. All right. I thought I heard pizza there for a second,
marijuana. All
right. Yes.
All right.
Peace, love, and dubes.
Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm too good to lose. Thanks for listening. Bye.
All right. That was our fearless leader on Radio Free Tuklin. Took it low. Face painter extraordinaire. Existential clown. Has some crazy colored hair. May or may not like to wear underwear. I know I don't, really, personally. I'm sorry, that's TMI. What would save the world? More fiber. Kids, more regular bowel movements. I'm not joking. And I also think toilet paper sucks. Like, I'm just going to throw that out there. Toilet paper sucks. Can we just get bidets everywhere for everyone? I know it's going to be a bit of a shocking change. Ha. A little startling. But so refreshing. If you don't know what that is, like, Google it. I think it's B-I-D-E-T, bidet. Some, like, you know, presumably European thing. But, like, what if we were washing our bits, rinsing it off, instead of using toilet paper? Because toilet paper leaves, like, particles behind all the time, and it's gross. So it's, like, not even doing a good job. And you have to use, like, two or three, like, you know, passes, wipes, whatever, just to get that shit off, literally and metaphorically. And then for those of you who have, you know, certain members, certain genital shapes that allow them to urinate standing up, You probably don't really know about this, but toilet paper is really fucking gross. It's just gross. It's nasty. It's not healthy, I think, for genitals or anuses. There, I said it. What would save the world? Not killing trees to make toilet paper, because I don't think we need any more toilet paper. And I know it's going to be a shock, and no one's going to know what to do with themselves. You know, maybe we can, like, make some sort of, like, biodegradable wipe or something that's, like, more sturdier, but it's, like, mushroom. Or maybe we can just have, like, really dope bidets that just, like, you know, clean our shit up, literally, metaphorically. Sorry if that took a turn for, like, the weird and nasty, but, like, I'm just saying, like, what would save the world? More love, yeah. Fewer guns, definitely. Not sure we even really need them to save anything or anyone. That's not much saving going on at this point. Mushrooms, and because we've talked why that would save the world. Peace and communication, you know, a little peace of mind, some communication. Talk to each other, children, especially when it kind of feels like it sucks and you know it sucks, and then, like, you're just avoiding it, and so you just need to talk to them. Just do it. Call that person, or don't. Maybe don't call them, because, you know, you got a restraining order, you shouldn't be harassing them. Give people space. I don't know, but then, like, write a letter, express how you feel, communicate. Maybe one day we'll learn to understand each other a little better. Maybe one day we can be heroes. Maybe one day we can save the world. I think it's possible. Do you? I think mushrooms will save the world. But that's just my personal opinion. And this is Pan on What Would Save the World for Took. Tune in next week. Pandemonium, 2 p.m. on Mondays. And What Would Save the World, 3 on Wednesdays. I'm going to get out of your hair and off the air. For this next lovely person that's coming in, it's been real. It's been fun. It's been real fun. Tune in next week to What Would Save the World. We're going to be talking about pink washing and some other fun stuff. Stay classy, you kids.